Good morning and welcome to Welton Baptist Church. It's so good that you're able to join us this morning, wherever you are. It's great to have you with us here online. We often think of church as being like two shoes. I don't know if you've thought of it that way before, but we think of one shoe as being our Sundays, where we get to gather together, to worship together, to have a great time listening to the Word of God, for our children and youth to be able to have time together. There's so much good about gathering on a Sunday, and maybe at the moment, for whatever reason, you're not able to do that, and hopefully we'll be able to see you soon. But the other part, the other shoe which we think of, is everything else which God is doing through the week, whether it be our Renew Wellbeing Cafe, whether it's our house groups, and we'd love you to be part of a house group, we'd really encourage you to think about that, whether it's our youth groups, whether it's the running route which meets on the Saturday morning, all of these ways where God brings life to his church. And so Sundays are great, they're important, but they're not the only thing. We think of the other shoe being the rest of the things, all the things going on in the week, and I really hope you're able to connect in that way. And God is doing good things through his church, through a Sunday, through the week. There's lots happening. And this week we're focusing on how God brings fullness of life, brings fullness to things. And maybe there are places where you're feeling a bit empty at the moment, and God can bring a fullness in those places. I want to kick off with a verse from John, which you might well know, where Jesus says to his disciples, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And sometimes that might sound like a bit of an ideal, but Jesus is doing that. He brings life in all its fullness. And we know that there's a real enemy who seeks to destroy, to ruin things. And so this morning, wherever you're feeling at the moment, we're going to be thinking about some fullness that God can be bringing to our lives. Before we come to worship, we are going to read from Psalm 23. Again, another piece of scripture which might seem familiar to you. But just as we come to worship, let's listen to these words from verse 5 onwards. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you promise to bring life in all its fullness. And Lord, that's not a glib, meaningless statement. You want to bring fullness to our life. And we recognize that there's an enemy who wants to ruin things, and that he's a real enemy. And Lord, we see that there's so much brokenness in the world, so many difficult things, and yet you restore and you bring life. And Lord, today we want to say thank you for what you've done in our lives, for the fullness you bring. And Lord, we're sorry when we sometimes miss that, and we have our eyes down and we look on the things which are difficult, on the problems, and we miss the good that you are doing. Lord, lift our eyes to you this morning, today, to see that you're a God who restores, who heals, who puts relationships right, who forgives the things that we get wrong when we come to you. Lord, we want to worship you this morning. Draw close to us as we sing. Amen. This morning at Porton Rovers, things are going to be a little bit different in that everybody is going to be staying in together for the whole morning, and we're going to be walking through the story of Ruth. Now, I don't know how often you get to sit down and really indulge in your Bible and to read a whole book in one sitting. It can be so rewarding, so good to hear from God in that way. And so we didn't feel that what we're doing at Porton today would actually translate so well onto video and onto YouTube. So what we're going to do is actually just spend a bit of time reading through the book of Ruth. And with this thought of mind around the theme of emptiness to fullness. And I hope you don't feel in any way that you're shortchanging you, but this is a great opportunity to sit and listen to God. We get so used to being spoon-fed sometimes, don't we? And we want to encourage people to be self-feeders, to listen to God for yourself. So as we come to read this book together this morning, let's get ready. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into our lives to speak to us. And think about those areas in your life, maybe where you feel empty, but also where you're feeling full, where you know God is doing good things. We would love to hear what God speaks to you this morning as you listen to this book. Let's pray as we come to read now. Father, we thank you for your word that you give to us, to be a light to our feet, to show us the way. We thank you that we don't need people in between us and your word all the time. We thank you that you can speak to us. And so we invite your Holy Spirit this morning. Come, come wherever we are. Let us rest. Let us focus on you. And would you speak to us this morning? Amen.
Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite woman who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Do not go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favour in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over, and she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 3. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you'll be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose woman you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognised, and he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Ruth chapter 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here, and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the guardian redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today, you are witnesses that I have brought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today, you are witnesses. Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David.
I really hope you've known God speaking to you this morning as we've read through that book together. I've no doubt you will have done, because God does that when we open up the Word and when we listen to Him. And why don't you grab your Bible now before you rush on to the next thing? Open it to the book of Ruth and get a highlighter pen. I don't know if you've done this before, but it's a brilliant thing to do. Just get a highlighter and simply go through the story again and highlight those places where you've just known God speaking to you through that story, and just sit on it for a little bit. Listen to God, talk to Him about those things. It's such an incredible story of God bringing fullness to an empty situation. It might be that some of this is kind of new to you, the idea of listening to God, and maybe you've got loads of questions. I just wanted to share that we've got an Alpha course starting on the 6th of October at 7 o'clock p.m. on Zoom. And this is just an amazing way of being able to find out a little bit more about the Christian faith. Ask all those questions which you're not sure about. And you know what? You'll be with a bunch of people who are asking the same kind of questions and looking the answers together. So there's no kind of superheroes, there's no experts or anything like that on an Alpha course. It's just an amazing opportunity to, yeah, find out a little bit more. So I'd encourage you, if you've not done Alpha before, get online, join us on the 6th of October. You can find out more by emailing alpha@weltonchurch.org.uk. I hope you've had a fantastic morning, and I look forward to seeing you again soon in person. Have a brilliant week. Look out for the fullness of things which God is doing. Look out for the good things and say thanks to God this week. Have a great one.